It's Saturday morning in Italy, and you're listening to the Magic Towns Italy podcast.
Welcome back to the Magic Towns Italy podcast. Today we're plunging into, well, a fascinating world where ancient beliefs kind of dance with modern life, where traditions are deeply held, but also sometimes playfully dismissed. We're talking Italian superstitions, and it's all summed up by that great saying, non è vero, ma ci credo. It's not true, but I believe it.
That phrase really does capture it perfectly, doesn't it? It's this charming mix of skepticism and, well, genuine belief. It makes Italian superstitions quite unique. They aren't just, you know, old wives' tales tucked away somewhere, still influencing everyday life. And for anyone thinking about moving to Italy, maybe retiring there, understanding these beliefs, it's more than just interesting. It's actually practical. It helps you navigate social situations, you know, from dinner parties to big life events.
We're going beyond just knock on wood. We'll cover protective charms, unlucky numbers, household no-nos, wedding rituals, New Year's traditions, the whole lot. So where should we begin?
We absolutely have to start with the malocchio, the evil eye. Now, you're probably familiar with the general idea. It pops up in lots of cultures. But in Italy, particularly in the South, it's this powerful belief that a certain look, usually one driven by envy, can actually cause harm or bad luck.
Okay, so if the malocchio is this real threat, what do people actually do? What are the protections? I've seen those little red horn charms everywhere.
Yes, you mean the cornicelli?
That's them.
Exactly, little horn-shaped pendants, often red, maybe coral or enamel. You see them everywhere, keychains, necklaces, rearview mirrors, even on baby strollers. They kind of serve two purposes, right? Warding off the evil eye, but also attracting good luck. And here's a crucial tip for you. A cornicello is said to be most effective when it's given as a gift.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so if an Italian friend gives you one, it's a really genuine gesture of goodwill and protection. It's lovely. And you're right about seeing them large scale, too. Think of those giant chili pepper statues in Naples. That shows how deep it runs.
So a cornicello is a great gift both ways. Now, besides charms, aren't there hand gestures, too, like la corna?
Yes, la corna the horns. It's a really common hand sign. You stick out your index finger and your pinky, curl the others down. Looks a bit like the rock and roll sign. Italians might subtly flash it, usually pointing down or maybe up if someone mentions bad luck or misfortune, just to ward it off. But, and this is really important for you to know, you must never point it directly at someone.
Why is that?
Because that changes the meaning entirely. It becomes a serious insult, implying the person is a cuckold. It will not go down well.
Vital distinction. Point down or up, but never at. Got it. So what if you need something a bit more discreet?
Yeah. In polite company or just more subtly, most people would go for to care ferro touch iron. That's basically the Italian knock on wood. And, well, without demonstrating here, some men might discreetly touch their groin area and women might touch a breast. It's a similar private touch luck kind of thing when bad news is mentioned.
So to care ferro touch iron. Why iron, though? Not wood, like we might say.
Well, that goes way back. Iron was seen as this magically protective metal. Think about a strength, weapons, armor, horseshoes, hungover doors, that kind of thing. So iron just became linked with protection. Today, if someone voices a worry, maybe about getting sick or some potential bad luck, they might quickly reach out and touch something iron, a key, a railing.
Or maybe a little iron charm.
Or even just a nail in their pocket. It's that better safe than sorry idea, but with an iron twist.
So if you see your new Italian neighbor tap a lamppost after you mention your car trouble, don't think they're odd.
It's just an ingrained reflex hedging their bets against bad luck.
Okay, now this next one is really interesting, the jettatore. This isn't about bad actions, but about a person just being unlucky.
That's right. The jettatore isn't necessarily trying to cause harm. They're just believed to bring bad luck simply by existing, by being present. There's even this sort of historical stereotype. Pale, serious looking, maybe wears glasses, dresses in black, often said to be from Naples or Sicily. And while it might sound like pure folklore, this belief can actually have real-world impact. It could lead to someone being subtly shunned or even affect their job prospects. And here's a key cultural point for you. In modern Italy, openly calling someone a jinx and jettatore can actually be considered defamation.
It carries real weight. It's not just a lighthearted tease then.
It can be, but there's a serious undertone you need to be aware of. It really shows the gravity some labels can have.
Are there ways to counteract a jettatore if you think you've encountered one?
Oh, yes. There are counter spells or actions. Touching iron, of course. Yeah. Clutching your cornicello. Some people might even subtly try to get the jettatore themselves to, say, touch their shoulder to kind of break the supposed jinx. Nowadays, most people treat it with a bit of humor. But You know, if a meeting goes sour right after someone walks in and you hear muttering, maybe just change the subject.
Good advice. Perception is clearly huge. Now, speaking of specific beliefs, let's talk numbers. Italy has its own unique unlucky number, and it's not 13, it's 17.
That's the one. 17 is Italy's big unlucky number, and the reason it's fascinating, it comes from Latin. The Roman numeral for 17, if you rearrange those letters, you can spell vix live.
Which strongly implies, well, that your life is over. It's linked to death. Because of this, you'll actually find some hotels in Italy skip the 17th floor. Airlines might skip row 17.
Seriously.
Absolutely. So Friday the 17th becomes Italy's equivalent of Friday the 13th. And it's not just Fridays that can be tricky, Tuesdays too.
Right. There's an old saying, di venerdì Marte non si sposa né si parte. On Venus's day, that's Friday, or Mars's day, Tuesday, don't get married or start a journey. Friday was linked to sorrow, Christ's crucifixion. Tuesday, being Mars's day, the god of war, was seen as bad for starting things likely to lead to conflict.
So 17 is bad. Friday and Tuesday can be iffy for big events, but 13 isn't universally feared. Yeah. It's interesting. Italians know the last upper story, 13 at a table, being bad luck for someone within the year. But outside of that specific dinner context, 13 doesn't have the same heavy stigma as it does elsewhere. In fact, 13 can even be lucky sometimes. Fare tiradici, to make 13, means hitting the jackpot on the football lottery pools, and the number 3 is generally seen as very lucky, you know, linked to the Holy Trinity. So you might hear wishes or toasts repeated 3 times.
And Naples has that wonderful thing.
It's this tradition of interpreting your dreams and mapping them to specific lottery numbers. Dreamt of a cat, there's a number for that. Bread, a number for that too. It's this beautiful mix of folklore, trying to understand your subconscious, and, well, hoping to win big.
Moving inside the house now, what are the absolute must-know household superstitions for anyone setting up home in Italy? I always think of no hats on the bed.
That is probably the most classic Italian household rule. Definitely no hats on the bed. It's believed to bring bad luck, maybe even death, and the origin is quite grim. Actually, historically, when a priest came to give the last rites, he'd take off his hat and place it on the bed of the dying person.
See the connection.
Exactly. So the image became strongly associated with death. Even today, you'll see people react instantly, snatching a hat off a bed. It's almost instinctive for many.
Deeply ingrained then. What about brooms? Anything we should know about sweeping?
Yes, watch where you sweep. There's a superstition, mostly a joke now, that if you accidentally sweep over an unmarried woman's feet, she'll never get married. And more seriously, perhaps, if you move into a new house, tradition says you should buy a new broom. The idea is you're sweeping in good fortune and leaving any bad vibes from the old place behind.
Makes sense. And umbrellas indoors, that's common elsewhere too, but is there a specific Italian angle?
There is. Most cultures say opening an umbrella inside is bad luck. The Italian interpretation is often that you're sort of tempting fate, like you're inviting rain, meaning misfortune, into your home.
It's fascinating how practical things like maybe leaky roofs in the past might blend with these beliefs. Any other bedroom superstitions?
Well, a slightly less common one, but still around, is about mirrors. Some believe you shouldn't sleep with a mirror directly facing the bed.
What is that?
The idea is that the mirror, sometimes seen as a portal, could steal your spirit while you sleep. So you might find perhaps older generations covering mirrors in the bedroom at night or positioning furniture so the bed doesn't face one.
Interesting.
Also, you know the phrase getting up on the wrong side of the bed? In Italy, that specifically means getting out of bed, left foot first. The word for left, sinistra, shares roots with sinister, so the left side carries that slightly negative connotation.
But wait, I read somewhere that sometimes you're actually meant to enter a new house with your left foot first. It seems contradictory.
It does, doesn't it? But yes, that's another piece of folk wisdom. Stepping in left first confuses any evil spirits lurking at the threshold.
Okay, let's head to the kitchen and the dining table, though. The heart of the Italian home. What rules apply here? I know bread is a big one.
Absolutely crucial. Never ever place a loaf of bread upside down on the table.
Why is it so bad?
It's considered really unlucky, but also deeply impolite. Bread is almost sacred in Italy, you know, symbolizing the body of Christ in communion. Placing it upside down is seen as profound disrespect, almost inviting poverty or misfortune. There's even a historical anecdote about medieval executioners having their bread left upside down by bakers.
Wow, so if you do it by accident?
Right side up, immediately. Some older folks might even give it a little apologetic kiss. It really highlights the reverence for basic sustenance. Bread, salt, oil, these things are precious.
Understood. Bread right side up. What about spilling salt, same as elsewhere?
Pretty much, yes. Spilling salt is a bad omen, often linked to financial loss or arguments. And the cure is the classic one. Quickly grab a pinch and toss it over your left shoulder.
The left shoulder, specifically.
Because that's where the devil is said to lurk. The salt supposedly gets in his eyes and wards off the bad luck. Also, an etiquette point, never pass the salt shaker directly hand to hand. Put it down on the table for the other person to pick up. Passing it directly is thought to pass on bad feelings or discord.
A good tip. Now, olive oil is liquid gold. Spilling that must be terrible.
Spilling olive oil is taken very seriously, especially in the South, where it's so central to life and economy. It's seen as incredibly unlucky, a real sign of potential disaster looming, wasting this precious commodity. I've heard stories of nanas getting quite upset over a dropped bottle.
So what's the remedy?
Again, salt comes to the rescue. Sprinkle salt on the spill immediately. Some people might even make the shape of a cross with the salt. And, you know, practically speaking, salt does help absorb the oil and make the floor less slippery. Ancient wisdom meets practicality.
It does seem that way, but here's a funny one. Spilling wine is good luck. That seems counterintuitive.
It is, isn't it? But yes, generally, spilling a little wine isn't seen as bad luck. In fact, it's often considered good luck. There's even a little tradition where you might dab a bit of the spilled wine behind your ears, like perfume.
Okay, wine good, oil bad.
Yeah.
Got it. And there's a specific way not to pour wine. The poisoners pour.
Ah, yes, a key bit of dinner party etiquette. Never pour wine with your hand gripping over the top of the bottle. So the back of your hand faces the glass of the person. This is called versare alla traditura, pouring like a traitor.
Why like a traitor?
The story goes, you know, back to medieval times, maybe Renaissance intrigue, that this was how someone concealing poison in a ring might pour, using the inverted hand position to subtly release it.
Fascinating. So always pour underhand.
Exactly. Palm upwards or sideways, bottle held from underneath. Pouring overhand looks suspicious or at least careless to those who know the tradition.
And even how you leave cutlery matters.
It can, yes. When you pause during a meal or finish, try not to leave your knife and fork crossed on the plate. Crossing them is said to invite quarrels or misfortune, maybe because it resembles a cross and you shouldn't mimic secret symbols carelessly. Just keep them parallel. Similarly, when you're toasting, don't cross arms with someone else to reach a glass further away. Bad form.
Right. Let's talk toasting then, since everyone knows that. But what are the crucial rules for a proper Italian brindisi to keep the luck flowing?
Okay, essential stuff for socializing. Rule number one, absolutely paramount, always make eye contact with the person you're clinking glasses with. Look them right in the eye as your glasses touch.
Why is eye contact so important?
It shows sincerity, respect, but the superstition is that failing to make eye contact condemns you to 7 years of bad luck, or as the popular joke goes, 7 years of bad sex.
Huh, okay. Motivation to look people in the eye.
Definitely. You'll often hear Italians remind each other, look me in the eyes. The origin might be medieval too, checking the other person wasn't poisoning your drink.
Makes sense. What else? What should you not toast with? I've heard water is a definite no.
A massive no-no. Toasting with plain water is considered extremely bad luck, almost like wishing death upon someone. It's associated with things like the river Styx in the underworld, or maybe with toasts to fallen sailors lost at sea. Just don't do it.
So anything but water, juice, soda.
Yes. Wine, Prosecco, spritz, juice, soda, anything fizzy or flavorful is fine, just not plain water. It's a surprisingly strong taboo. Other little things, some people tap their glass on the table gently after clinking, maybe to ground the toast. Never cross arms, as we said, and never toast with an empty glass.
Got it. Eye contact, no water, no crossing, keep it full. Love that. Okay, moving to weddings. Surely even these happy occasions are layered with superstitions to make sure things go right. What about unlucky days to get married?
Oh, yes. Traditionalists will still definitely avoid Fridays and Tuesdays. Friday for sorrow, Tuesday for quarrels, and obviously Friday the 17th would be considered particularly inauspicious for a wedding.
Makes sense. What about the bride's preparations? Any Italian spins on the something old, something new traditions?
There are. For instance, some brides might wear something green the night before the wedding. Green symbolizes fertility and good fortune. The groom absolutely must not see the bride in her dress before the ceremony. That's pretty universal. Italy follows the something old, new, borrowed blue custom, but with added details, like the bride shouldn't wear any gold jewelry before the wedding vows, apart from her engagement ring, perhaps. Only the wedding ring seals the deal. Some brides might make a tiny, deliberate tear in their veil, said to ward off envy or let good fortune spill in.
And the groom, any lucky charms for him?
He might carry a small piece of iron in his pocket.
And after the I do's, we see rice throwing. What else happens?
Throwing rice, or sometimes confetti or petals, is classic. It symbolizes wishes for fertility and abundance for the couple. Then there's sometimes a tradition of the couple smashing a glass, maybe a vase or a drinking glass. The number of broken shards is said to represent the number of happy years of marriage they'll have. Choose your glass wisely. And here's a lovely one. Rain on your wedding day. In Italy, that's considered good luck.
Most people dread rain on their wedding day.
I know, but the saying is sposa bagnata, sposa fortunata. A wet bride is a lucky bride. It's seen as washing away the past or as a sign of abundance, like rain for crops.
That's a beautiful way to look at it, and a crucial language tip for guests.
Yes, very important. You should not say congratulazione, congratulations, until after they are officially married. Saying it beforehand is thought to jinx things.
About pregnancy and babies. Loads of superstitions there too, I bet. Tell me about the Vogli marks.
The Vogli, the craving marks. This is such a charming one. The belief is that if a pregnant woman has a strong craving for a particular food and doesn't get it, the baby might be born with a birthmark shaped like that food.
Like a little strawberry shape if she craves strawberries?
Or coffee or whatever it was. It's of course medically nonsense, but it provides a wonderful excuse for everyone to indulge the expectant mother's every culinary whim. Can't risk a prosciutto-shaped mark, can we?
Oh, fantastic excuse. What about naming the baby? Any traditions there?
Traditionally, there was a strong reluctance to name a baby directly after a living relative, especially a grandparent. The belief was it could somehow steal the luck or even the life force from the older person. So babies were very often named after deceased grandparents or patron saints instead. This isn't followed as strictly now, but some families, especially more traditional or superstitious ones, still prefer to avoid using the exact same name as a living elder.
Protecting the newborn itself from the Malachio again.
Absolutely. Babies are seen as very vulnerable to envy or excessive admiration, so you'll often see a little red ribbon or a tiny cornicello or another amulet pinned to the baby's crib or stroller. Red is key. It's thought to distract or repel the evil eye.
And I heard that parents often wait quite late to prepare the nursery.
That's very common. Many expecting parents avoid buying lots of baby stuff or setting up the nursery too far in advance. It comes from a place of not wanting to jinx the pregnancy, not wanting to tempt fate by being overly prepared before the baby arrives safely. That's partly why baby showers aren't a deeply rooted Italian tradition. But once the baby is born safely, there's a very public announcement.
Oh yes, the fiocco. It's a big, beautiful ribbon bow hung on the front door of the family's home. It proudly tells the whole neighborhood the wonderful news.
Let's jump to the end of the year, New Year's Eve, Capodanno. Italy has some fantastic good luck traditions, lentils first.
Yes, lentils are a must. After midnight strikes on New Year's Eve, it's traditional to eat a spoonful or more of stewed lentils. They're often served with cotechino or zampone, which are rich pork sausages.
And why lentils?
Because their small round shape resembles coins. So the belief is the more lentils you eat, the more money and prosperity you'll have in the coming year. It's a tradition that actually goes back to Roman times.
And then maybe the most famous one, the red underwear.
Ah, the red underwear. Yes, it's a huge thing. Come December, shop windows are full of red lingerie and boxers. The tradition is to wear new red underwear, ideally received as a gift on New Year's Eve. It's supposed to bring good luck, prosperity, fertility, and love in the year ahead.
Why red?
Well, red is often seen as a powerful color, good for warding off evil spirits, or maybe it's just become a fun, slightly racy tradition. And the proper way to do it, you're supposed to throw it away on January 1st. Dispose of the old year's vibes along with the undies.
Huh, out with the old indeed. Speaking of throwing things out, wasn't there a more extreme version of that in some places?
Yes. Historically, in some parts of the South, like Naples or Calabria, there was a tradition of literally throwing old, unwanted things out of the window at midnight on New Year's Eve. Old plates, pots, maybe even small pieces of furniture. The symbolism was clear. Chucking out the past year's misfortunes to make space for good luck.
Dangerous.
Extremely. Thankfully, you don't really see that anymore for obvious safety reasons. But it shows the strength of that out with the old, in with the new sentiment.
Okay, as we start to wrap up, let's quickly cover some of the little quirks, those almost automatic, better safe than sorry reactions. What's the verdict on black cats?
It's mixed, actually. Like elsewhere, some Italians believe a black cat crossing your path, especially from left to right, is bad luck linked to old witchcraft fears. But others believe that if a black cat walks towards you, it's actually bringing good fortune. So it depends on the cat's direction and maybe who you ask.
And in the theater, you never say good luck?
Absolutely not. The phrase is, in bocca lupo, literally, into the mouth of the wolf.
And the reply?
The correct reply is crappy a lupo, meaning may the wolf die. It sounds aggressive, but it's the standard theatrical good luck exchange.
Football fans must be a whole world of superstition or scaremanzia themselves.
Oh, completely. Italian football fans can be incredibly superstitious. Lucky scars that haven't been washed since the last win, always sitting in the same seat at the bar, taking the exact same route to the stadium. You do not mess with a winning streak's rituals.
I can imagine. What about where you sit at a dinner table?
Right. Try to avoid sitting right at the corner of a rectangular table. It's considered unlucky, particularly for single people. The belief is you might not get married for 7 years or ever.
Good to know. And one really practical piece of advice for our listeners, especially those thinking of buying property in Italy.
Yes, this is quite important, particularly in smaller towns or villages. Be mindful of how you talk about houses. Even making lighthearted jokes about a place being haunted or having bad vibes can sometimes be taken more seriously than you intend. And word can travel. It could potentially even affect how people view the property or its value.
So keep property chat positive and factual.
Generally, yes. Keep it cheerful. Save the ghost stories for Halloween, maybe.
It really is amazing how all these different threads weave together. It brings us back to that wonderful Eduardo Di Filippo quote.
Essere superstiziosi è da ignoranti, ma non esserlo porta male.
Being superstitious is ignorant, but not being superstitious brings bad luck.
That just sums it all up, doesn't it? It's that perfect Italian blend of rational thought and, well, hedging your bets. You might not really believe, but why take the chance? It can't hurt.
Exactly. These beliefs, these rituals, they add so much color and charm to Italian life. They connect generations. They provide a sort of rhythm, a way to feel a little bit of control, perhaps, in a chaotic world.
Absolutely. And for you listening, if you're considering a move or spending significant time in Italy, understanding these customs, it really does enrich your experience. It helps you connect, integrate, avoid accidental faux pas, and just appreciate the unique cultural fabric on a deeper level. It's a chance to observe, maybe even participate a little.
Maybe I said in Italy, fortune favors the prepared and perhaps also the slightly superstitious. Don't be afraid to embrace the fun side of it. Learn the little rules, observe the traditions, engage with this unique aspect of Italian culture. You never know. It might just bring you a little bit of buona fortuna.
That's it for this week on Magic Towns Italy. You can create a free account at magictowns.it and explore over 2,000 towns, including those offering the 7% tax scheme, as well as download dozens of expat guides. We have over 200 data points per town, more than Italy's statistics authority itself, covering everything from property prices to schools, healthcare, crime, and more. If you want full access to filters and unlimited searches, upgrade to Magic Towns Premium. Use the code PODCAST for 20% off an annual plan. Thanks for listening. Our next podcast will be live on Saturday at 9 a.m.